5, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Pardon me. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. Pardon me there. Got a little tickle in my throat when I started talking. That happens sometimes, but it is good to be here. We want to take just a moment and invite you to come visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. The next time we have church, I'll tell you, we've had some bad weather here in the high country for the past several days. We've missed two Sundays and one Wednesday night. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be able to resume regular services tomorrow night on Wednesday night, the 27th. But anyway, normally, barring bad weather, we have our Sunday morning worship service beginning at 10, Sunday school for all ages, 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We have our midweek prayer and Bible study. You can find out more information and service times on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. But once again, it is good to be here. Good to see Noah. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here, and we do want to say welcome to everyone who's listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those listeners on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota, and also those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we started a series a few weeks ago on the subject of heroes of prayer. And we've been looking at, so far, we only have two that we've looked at. We looked at Nehemiah in the Bible, the book of Nehemiah. And then last week, we took some time and we looked at a gentleman named Jeremiah C. Lanfear. And Mr. Lanfear, he started a prayer meeting in New York City, and it turned out to be, I don't know, I haven't read this, but probably one of the largest ongoing prayer meetings of all time. I would have to say so. The prayer meetings themselves lasted for over 100 years, from 1857 to 1960. And there was a lot of good come out of that. Revivals, churches started, missionaries sent, preachers called, people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And a lot of the songs that we sing in churches even today, a lot of the famous songwriters, Fanny Crosby and lots of different ones, those great songs came out of that time period. And so a lot of good fruit came out of that revival. It became known as the Fulton Street Revival. And real revivals, real ministries that are blessed of the Lord, they produce fruit that lasts. That's one of the ways that you can tell if something is really being blessed of the Lord or not, is does it have fruit that lasts? Does it produce good fruit? Jesus said in John 15 and 16, the first part of that verse, he said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." And so good fruit that the Lord has blessed and has his blessing upon it, it's going to remain. It is going to last. And so we could use that as a measure today. What is really being blessed of the Lord? What kind of fruit is it bearing out? Which Bible is blessed of the Lord? You'd have to agree, if you know anything about church history, that the King James Bible is unequaled among all the other new versions. It has been blessed of the Lord and still being blessed today. What kind of music does the Lord bless and give good fruit? Churches, I mean, that's just a produce of the blessing of the Lord. And so we looked at that prayer meeting. Sort of got sidelined a little bit there, but those are some good thoughts as well. But we looked at that prayer meeting, and then we looked at Nehemiah the week before that. Today we're going to go back and give an example out of the Bible, and I think I'll do that. I'm not going to make any promises, but I think we're going to take an example out of the Bible and then go to an example in history and then back to the Bible, and going to go back and forth a little bit and just give some more examples of heroes of prayer. Today we're going to look at a young man named Daniel in the Bible. Daniel, as in the book of Daniel, but the person of Daniel. Now, we may look at these people in the Bible and say, well, that's so long ago, and you know, that doesn't really apply today. But if you really look and study about Daniel's life, man, he went through a lot in his life. He was what we would call a POW. He was a prisoner of war. He had been carried away in the Babylonian captivity, and he'd been carried away from his homeland at Jerusalem to Babylon, and he had been raised in the courts or in the system of what we read about in the Bible, a man named King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And he was raised. He was evidently, when he was at home in his homeland, maybe even had some royalty, some influence. But the way that they would do in those days, they would take the choice men, the choice women out of the land, and they would take them away captives, and they would train them for their own use, their own purposes. And that's how Daniel had been raised, as a gifted young man. They saw that there was something special about him. So he had been raised to serve Nebuchadnezzar and to be used by Nebuchadnezzar. And so he was carried away as what we would call a prisoner of war. He was brought up and educated under King Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to begin reading in Daniel chapter number 2. We're going to see some things. And actually, there's about 3 or 4 times in Daniel's life where prayer made a difference. Now, in Daniel chapter number 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has had a troubling dream. He's had a dream, and it really bothered him. It was different from all the other dreams that he had had, and he knew that there was something in this dream that he needed to understand this dream. And so in Daniel chapter number 2, he calls in all of his advisors. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 1, it said, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king." And so the king has this dream, and it bothers him so much that he wakes up, his sleep break from him. He calls in all these, everything under the sun. He just calls them the wise men. You know, there's astrologers and magicians and sorcerers, and Daniel is lumped into this bunch of men. But he calls them in before him, and he wants to know the meaning of this dream. Now, that, you know, what would you say? Well, tell us the dream. Well, there's a problem concerning Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and that's that he could not remember what it was, but it bothered him. And he wanted to know what it meant. So he explained that to these men. I'm just going to start reading in verse number 3. "And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." Now, anybody could make a stab at it. And so that's what they said. "Well, just tell us what it was, and we'll tell you what the dream meant." Now here's the problem in verse number 5. "The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill." Have you ever dreamed a dream and you tried the next morning to remember it but couldn't? Maybe you could just get just a little piece of it. Well, the king, he couldn't even get a little piece of it. He said, I dreamed a dream. It's bothered me. I can't remember it. It's gone from me. But you didn't tell me what it was, and you interpret it for me. If you don't, I'm going to cut you all in pieces and going to make your house a dunghill. That's what the king said down through verse number 5. And so what the king was saying, fellas, if you're really any good, it won't matter. It won't matter if I tell you what the dream was or not. You ought to be able to know this. You're magicians and sorcerers and palm readers and soothsayers and all that kind of stuff. Have you ever wondered about these people that supposedly can tell your fortune? Why are they so poor? And they usually operate out of a little run-down house, and they'll read your palm for $5. Well, if you can tell the future, why don't you just win the lottery? You know, dial in some of them winning numbers, and, you know, why is your life like that? I don't understand some of these things, but that's sort of what Nebuchadnezzar's take on it was. If you're the real deal, you ought to be able to tell what the dream was and tell me the interpretation of the dream. Now, Daniel wasn't in on the men that went in before the king, but he was lumped into their group of wise men. And Daniel hears the news. And this is what I want to point out today. It is what Daniel did during a time of crisis. Daniel hears the news that he also is going to suffer because these men could not tell the dream. He's going to be put to death. Not only him, but his friends. We know them in the Bible as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what did Daniel do during this time of crisis? The command from the king was interpret this dream. Tell me what this dream was and interpret it, or you're going to die. He was going to just kill them all. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was going to do. And so Daniel had a crisis in his life. I mean, there was something going on, and he had no control whatsoever over it. You know, when a crisis comes, some of the other words we might use for a crisis, it was a critical point in his life. It was crunch time. It was a crucial period. It was a turning point. It was an emergency. He was at a crossroads. This is do or die. I mean, there's no other option here whatsoever. Daniel lived under a dictator. Nebuchadnezzar was a dictator. This is not somebody that Daniel could call up the ACLU and say, you know, us wise men, we're not being treated right by the king, and we need a lawyer down here to represent our case and all like that. Nebuchadnezzar was a total dictator. He was a fascist. You know, we hear that word thrown around today. Somebody is a fascist. A fascist, what that means, it is a political system headed by a dictator, in which the government controls business and labor, and opposition is not permitted. And that's the way it was under Nebuchadnezzar. He controlled everything. He even controlled all the religions and all the religious leaders. He's the one that said, I'm going to make an image, and everybody's going to bow down to it at the same time, and I'm going to rule the world, get everybody worshiping the same God. And he was a dictator, and opposition was not allowed whatsoever. So This is the ruler that Nebuchadnezzar served. And there was nothing, humanly speaking, that Daniel could do. He couldn't flee. He couldn't leave the country. You know, people say today in America, oh, we got problems. I'll just go somewhere else. Where are you going to go? There's nowhere else to go. Daniel didn't say, well, I'm going to call a lawyer. We'll start a petition among the wise men, and we'll all sign it, and we'll present it before the king. That wasn't going to do any good. So what could Daniel do? Daniel prays. And there is a great, great lesson here that Daniel, during a time of crisis, he prayed. And we live in a day where there is a lot of talk that goes on. I mean, there's talk radio, and when people meet each other on the street, you know, what did you think about the debate? What do you think about Trump? What do you think about Cruz? What do you think about Hillary? What do you think about this? And what do you think about that? Lots of talk. But that's all it is. Nobody's given a remedy. Nobody knows what the answer is. You know, everything in our country is a crisis. It's a crisis when gas is $4 a gallon, and it's a crisis when gas is cheap. There was an article in the newspaper this morning talking about cheap gas is not necessarily savings. And so everything that goes on is a crisis. is a problem. We cannot be satisfied. There's no remedy. There's no antidote to the problems that we have. The outlook, as far as our nation is concerned, you hear people talking all the time, well, it's pretty bleak. So what can we do? Well, here's what Daniel did, and I'm just going to point out a few things. This is an example out of Daniel's prayer life. Here's what Daniel did during a time of crisis. Number one, we need to set aside a time for prayer, and that's what he did in verse number 16. When Daniel heard the news, the Bible said in verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Daniel went before the king and he said, King, all I'm asking for is some time. If you'll just give us some time, I will show you the interpretation of that dream. You give me some time and I'll give you an answer. And people have all kinds of time to do all kinds of things except pray. It seems like pray for our nation, pray for our situations that we have all throughout the world, actually. But people have time to talk about it. I mean, there's all kinds of talking about it. Sometimes going to school on Thursday nights when I travel over, I have some time in the car and I'll listen to some talk radio. And it amazes me. Some of these guys, some of these people, they're on the radio for 4 hours a day and they're talking about everything. And then they're on TV at night and they're talking about everything that's going on. But that's all they're doing. They're talking. They're not giving any answers. They don't have any remedies. Oh, of course, they say, well, if you just listen to us, things would be better. But everything they offer, somebody else is offering. So, you know, they're just talking. They're not getting anything done. People have all kinds of time to complain about things. You know, they don't like this and they don't like that. We have time for sports. We have time for Facebook. We have time for shopping and watching TV and all kinds of things like that. But who has time to pray? You know, if you really want to do something that'll make a difference, you need to pray. And we've talked about prayer, and we've talked about 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and that we ought to pray for all men everywhere, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. But we're going to have to take time to pray. And that is the first thing that Daniel did. He set aside a time of prayer. So that's number one. Then we can take this lesson from Daniel's life. He had a place of prayer. The Bible said in verse number 17, after Daniel had asked the king for time, verse 17, the Bible said, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known. And so Daniel went to his house. And if you study the book of Daniel, you'll find that Daniel had he had a place to pray, and he went to his house to pray. Over in Daniel chapter number 6, now that's where Daniel was thrown in the den of lions. This is another time. This is much later in Daniel's life. And this is under another king also. But they made a law not to pray. Well, did Daniel stop praying? No. As soon as he found out that they'd made a law not to pray, you know what Daniel did? He went and prayed. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that was a law that nobody could pray for 30 days to anybody except the king. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. Here he is again. He goes to his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And so when it says as he did aforetime, that means this: Daniel was a person who prayed regardless of the situation. You know, some people, they are 911 prayers. That is when you pray only when there's an emergency. Now, that's not the kind of prayer person that Daniel was. Daniel prayed regardless. Daniel prayed as he did aforetime. Daniel was a person of prayer. He took time to pray. He had a place to pray. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6, the Bible talking over there, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so all throughout the Bible, we find that there is an example of having a place to pray, going to pray, taking time to pray. When's the best time to pray? Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." That's a prayer example from the life of Jesus Christ himself. When did he pray? He prayed first thing in the morning. He went out into a solitary place. Now, you can't pray at the breakfast table eating cereal and kids running around and the radio going on and everything like that. You just can't do it. And so you need a time and you need a place to pray. And Daniel had a time and Daniel had a place of prayer. Once upon a time, people had to go to the barn in the morning. And, you know, they lived rural lifestyles. And that means that they had to work in order to eat and to live. And so they had time. They made time. You know, they go to the barn. They had to milk the cows. They had to feed the animals. And a lot of times people would take that time in the morning and they would take some time to pray. And boy, people are so busy, they don't have time. But I'm telling you, during a time of crisis, that's the thing we need to be doing, because nothing else is doing any good. That's where we are in America. Nothing else is doing any good. Take the Republicans and the Democrats and put them all in a box and shake them up and dump them out, and you couldn't tell the difference. It's not doing any good. It's not changing anything. It's not making any difference. We're wasting our time. We're wasting our effort. We're wasting our money on things that are not making any difference whatsoever, but prayer makes a difference. So there's a time. There is a place. Here's something else about Daniel. Find some friends in prayer. Some people. Daniel did not take this burden upon himself and carry it all by himself. But the Bible said in Daniel chapter 2, verse 17, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." Now later on, and I don't know why it is like this, but Daniel is known by his Hebrew name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is the same people here in verse number 17, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they're known by their Babylonian name, as far as if you were going to Sunday school and heard them talked about. But anyway, that's who he's talking about. He's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the three men that were thrown into the fiery furnace. But these were Daniel's friends. And so Daniel and his three friends, they're all going to be cut to pieces if God does not answer the prayer and show Daniel the dream and the interpretation thereof. So we find in the Bible that there is power in collective prayer. And so if me praying by myself, that does good, and it does. We also find in the Bible that God hears our collective prayers, things that we can agree upon and pray about together. And we find in Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 19, for example, the Bible said that Jesus said, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." And so can you imagine the prayer meeting of Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah as they come together, and Daniel went to them, brought them into his house, and he said, "Fellas, this is what the king said. If we don't find out what his dream was and give him an interpretation, he's going to kill all of us. And I just come from talking to the king, and he said he'd give us a little time." Now, let me tell you, I don't know what the king's dream was, and he doesn't either. We need God to help us. Do you think they had a little two-minute prayer meeting? I'd say it got real serious in Daniel's house when they got together to pray about this matter. I mean, God was going to have to do something. He was going to have to answer their prayer in a very real way. And so he found some friends that they could agree together and they could pray together concerning this matter. Find some friends in prayer. Now, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in people getting together. We have prayer on Wednesday night at Mount Lebanon. And I've told them many, many times throughout the years, if we didn't have our Bible study, if we didn't have, and I'm currently teaching through the book of Mark, preaching through the book of Mark, and I enjoy it. I mean, I hope we get a lot out of it. I have been. But if we met and we didn't do anything else but pray, that's the most important thing. And so we meet once a week. We meet together. We pray for one another, agree together, find some friends in prayer. Now, I want to point out something else. Our time is quickly going to get gone today. We need to be specific in our prayer life. Daniel was very specific in verse number 18. And I'll have to go back over there and find my place. But in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 18, the Bible said that he got his companions together that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So the Bible said that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. When they got together and prayed, this was not some vague prayer. This was not some non-specific prayer meeting. This wasn't a blanket prayer. And a lot of times, and not being critical of anybody's prayer life, I'm guilty as well, but a lot of times our prayers are just very generic. I mean, you couldn't tell if God answered or not. Lord, help us. Lord, bless all the missionaries. Lord, keep the soldiers safe. You know, that's good, and I'm not throwing off on that, but it'd be a whole lot better if we were more specific. Here's what I'm saying. Prayer in the Bible is very specific. It is about something, not just this broad, general, I can't tell you if that was really answered or not. That is not the prayer example that we find in the Bible. Daniel prayed concerning this secret. He asked God specifically, show me the king's dream and the interpretation. So a specific prayer. There's an example from the Bible. We need to be more specific in our praying. Then we'll quickly go on. We'll say their motive was right. Now, he didn't pray. He didn't go to God. He didn't go to the Lord and say, God, I pray you'd kill Nebuchadnezzar and the rest of these wise men. That's not what he prayed. He had a good motive in his prayer. He said that we should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. We need to watch our motive in our praying. James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. To ask amiss means to ask badly with a bad intention. So he had no ill will towards Nebuchadnezzar. He just prayed that God would give him the answer and the interpretation of the dream. So we need to watch our motives in our prayer life. They had no ill will towards anybody. Then we need to exercise faith. Faith is the key. And Daniel had faith when he went before the king. He desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. He had faith before he prayed. He went in and he asked the king, knowing that if he just had time to pray, that God would hear his prayer, answer his prayer, and he would have an answer for Nebuchadnezzar. And so exercise faith and then receive the answer. In verse number 19, the Bible said, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And so God answered his prayer. Well, I see your time is quickly come and gone today, but prayer in a time of crisis. What are we doing? We need to be praying. All right, Noah's going to come give the contact information. Thank you for listening in.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer. The Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, it's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.